Good morning. Today is Thursday, the 21st of March. Jordan, is it spring yet?
Yes.
Today is?
It's spring. I believe it's spring. Somebody told me that last week.
Well, then I guess I'm in the proper color scheme.
Isn't it when the time changed?
I know. I thought about it. I got green.
No,
today.
It's like 21 or 22. Or 20. I think Winston's jumping on that
one. Do you know what today is, Brian?
Thursday. I got Thursday, I think, and March.
Okay.
A little shaky on the year. joining us this morning is Mr. Merritt Perry from Fortuna. Good morning.
Hi, Brian.
You going to back me up on any of those or not?
I'll do my best.
All right. Okay. Speaking of your best, you ready for it?
Yeah.
All right. Huh. That's interesting. Why do we call a trader a turncoat?
Wasn't it in the Revolutionary War that there was a group of folks, was it, they would turn their coat to pretend that they were the other side, or they'd switch from one side to the other and turn their coat inside out so they weren't red coats.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, to turn inside out.
So I'm going to go with that.
Someone who changes sides during a war is called a turncoat because of the actions of a former Duke of Saxony.
Yeah.
Who found himself and his land uncomfortably situated directly in the middle of a war that would be uncomfortable between the French and the Saxons. Turn page. Oh, I'm not supposed to read that. I'll just let it settle for a sec. Okay. He quickly had a reversible coat made for himself, one side blue for the Saxons and the other side white for the French. Then, depending on who was occupying his land, he could wear the appropriate color of allegiance.
So it was earlier than...
Earlier, but the concept was there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You like the turn page part?
I don't know.
You won't comment, I know. Yeah, all right. You can't, and I will.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So I understand you've got another badge back in town, huh?
Yeah, we got our chief back, our chief Casey Day. He came back from the FBI National Academy. And our council was quite happy to have him back. They recognized and showed some.
They remembered him.
They remembered him.
All right.
Yeah. They our mayor played a little clip that the lieutenant put together, kind of with his graduation ceremony. But yeah, I'm anxious to hear. We've had so many things that we've been dealing with since he got back that are come to the forefront. But I'm anxious to hear some of the things that he's going to bring back to the department. And you know, some of the big ones that he's mentioned. You know, networking. And understanding what
that's always the best takeaway.
Yeah, what resources are available, you know, at the national level, and then also the relationships you make with people in other communities that are, you know, they might be further ahead with us. With, you know, for example, maybe somebody in Central California dealing with the flow of drugs from, you know, from
part south. Yeah.
Right, and you know, people further that are experiencing problems that they're further along with solutions than us that you can talk to and rely on and look at solutions that we maybe haven't had to come up with yet. So
isn't that always the goal, is the people connections? You get information, but if you got a person that you can talk to,
yeah,
they can tell you about the information.
Yeah. It's often one of the more valuable things, you know, when you're going to a training or a conference, if you're doing a good job of meeting people and talking to folks, you can learn from their experiences, and you don't get those opportunities when you're, occupied in your own city, you know, with your, you know, looking at your problems.
When the force field is intact. Yeah.
And it's always strangely relieving, you know, when I'll go to a city manager's conference or somewhere else to talk to other people that you hear how they're dealing with it or that they have similar problems. So,
you're not on the island.
Yeah, you're not on the island. You're like, yeah. So it's good to kind of share those experiences, and particularly if there's solutions that people have found that, you know, you haven't got to yet.
Now, you said you didn't want to talk budget, and I won't.
I didn't say I didn't want to.
Yeah.
I said it's not the most fun subject. It's a tough one.
Do you protect training, leave the area, convention, whatever it's in as a budget item? Do you protect that as strongly as all of the other elements of a budget and almost insist that your departments do this? For the reasons we just were talking about.
Yeah. You know, in putting together our budget, we tend to look at it each fund by each fund, right? So some departments might have multiple funds. You know, for example, parks might have recreation, and then we'll have the River Lodge, and then we'll have the, you know, Monday Club, or it might be another department. But when you're looking at training, it's important. You know, our building officials, they need to go and they need to get brushed up on building code, and they have that refresher. Pretty much every department, there's, you know, there's continuing education that they need. The council goes to League of California Cities events, and they're able to hear about pending legislation and what efforts are coming forward. And also have training classes, you know, for public works on liability and what our losses are and how to address, you know, some of the new state mandates, which are always happening. So, yeah, it's really important. When you say protect them, we tend to have, you know, when we look at a budget for a particular fund, we end up, you know, looking at what we did over the last 5 years, and we have that data and how much money we've spent. So, you know, we kind of start off saying, okay, you know, what needs to change from 1 year to the next? And, you know, if airline tickets go up or fuel prices go up for vehicles, we tend to adjust those. But so we keep a somewhat stable training budget. I suppose if, you know, we were really having a hard time filling the gaps, you know, in this year, or we had some drastic drop in tax revenue, that we would probably look to cut some money there. But
if it's precipitous, that's one thing. But right. I sense that it's like with marketing. Training and marketing tend to be the things that get lopped off.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you cut it today, there's no direct impact tomorrow. Now, maybe in a month, there's starting to be issues. 6 months, things start, you know, the wheels start falling off. Mm-hmm. But the immediate, where if you let somebody go or don't hire in a position, you're dealing with it today and tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I think that there's that delayed impact that a lot of people see is, well, that's tomorrow's pain, not today's.
Yeah. No, we see training and continuing education as important. You know, and a lot of times we don't use all of our budget in all of our departments, but it's available. And it's not a huge amount of money. It's a small piece of the whole pie, a very small piece. But it is certainly something that we keep in the budget every year, and we haven't had to cut since I've been there.
Will you call the department heads on the floor if they don't use their training budget?
No, I, you know, I think
so it's a priority, but
I think it's kind of up to them. I encourage folks to do that, because I think it's important to get away, take a step back, and kind of look at what you're doing from an outside perspective.
Or even go visit somebody. You know, it doesn't have to be a structured convention. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Merritt Perry. So now that you are one of the more senior, and will become even more senior, city managers in the area.
Moving up the list, yeah.
Yeah. What number will you be when Karen's gone? Where are you on the pecking order?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't really thought about
that. You gotta be pretty close to senior.
That's a strange thought. I still feel like the new guy.
The kid, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. It's been about 6 years. So, you know, I know Miles came on slightly after me, so he's
right.
Behind,
Trinidad. And
they switched up. Eli's been around on and off.
Yeah. Blue Lake isn't it that long?
Yeah, yeah. Getting up there, I remember getting a seat at the table and meeting with the city managers group. I was like, wow.
Oh yeah. Hey, this is cool. Yeah.
Kind of nervous. What should I be doing here?
Sit back and observe. That's always a good first salvo position to take.
There's good camaraderie between our city and county administrators, and it's good to get together with them from time to time to be able to kind of talk about current events and what things and how we're approaching them, and then also
to coordinate or to focus on single topics.
we have a regular meeting typically once a month, and they get canceled a lot because we're all pretty busy, but we end up having those and get together, and you know, it might be, again, talking about legislation or some particular challenge or, you know, something that blows up in the press that, you know, might be to commiserate or it might be to strategize. You know, there's a lot of valuable things that can come out of that. Again, just like going to a training out of town where you're talking to other people about their experiences. They're the most close by examples of that.
Yeah, you know? That would make sense. What I was curious about is, what are some of the top ideas you've got from going to a convention or a gathering or out of the area, non-vacation?
Top ideas.
Yeah, something that you brought back and you went, you know, this one really worked well, and the community is seeing benefit from that idea that I got from XYZ.
You know, one of the ones that, you know, I've had to learn more on the job is some of the different financing mechanisms and, you know, just coordinating and talking to some folks. I went to one of the presentations at one of the, I forgot what it was. They have various classes. Some are put on by other city managers or administrators, and some are put on vendors. But, you know, some of them on financing mechanisms can be really important to think about, or how to do a budget health check and looking at updating all of your, you know, whether, you know, just kind of those comprehensive look at how you approach your budget and how are you making sure you have a healthy budget. Some of those
are more like a manager thing rather than a doing thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like, okay, if you're not doing these things, you probably should be stepping back and looking and reassessing what you're doing here. And so it's, some of those are particularly helpful. And I've been working with the Roner Community Recreation and Park District towards a swimming pool project. And so I was able to talk to some folks about the different financing mechanisms and actually ended up bringing on a professional firm to be able to come and advise the district. And so it was something that directly brought the experience and expertise we needed. And I was having a hard time finding it here, and they could come and make a presentation to the district and advise them on some of the legal matters with assessment districts and,
tax
measures, and
not only the individual relationships, but to know who are the key players in these various areas that you don't have that experience with.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, how many public swimming pools are there north of Santa Rosa? The only one I'm aware of.
Willits, Fort Bragg, Del Norte, Crescent City.
Crescent City. Yeah.
Yeah. So thinking about their financing mechanisms, you know, locally, talking to, you know, the other folks that run those, as well as, you know, professionals who, you know. Fort Bragg has one.
Yeah. I know Willits has because the kid swam there.
Yeah.
Did you know there was one, Winston, in Fort Bragg? A swimming pool, a public pool. Oh, okay.
It's a CV Star Center or something. It has another name, and it scares the heck out of me because I keep seeing them in the press, and they keep needing to raise more revenue to keep the thing operating. And so, you know, that's one of the really scary things.
Talk about energy costs, huh?
Ooh. Yeah, energy costs. One of their one of their only options was propane, and fuel costs go up, and then it significantly increases your cost to operate a pool. So they've had some challenges. I hear it's a wonderful.
Can't do a solar farm?
You can. I don't know the circumstances.
Cost effectively.
Of that. But it's,
well, I was saying Sunny Fortuna.
Yeah.
You didn't even rise to that one.
No.
You must be elsewhere right now in your mind.
We are considering that. We actually interviewed consultants to take that project from finalization of the concept and feasibility study all the way through construction. And, you know, we have, we're expecting to have support from the McLean Foundation to be able to make that project a reality. We still need to have some level of assessment for operation, but the McLean Foundation has indicated that they really want to support that project, and they're pushing us to make something happen quickly.
Why?
If we're going to do that. You know,
What's their push?
You know, I think that was one of the Mellon. I'm trying to remember the other half. The Mel and what's it? Mel and Grace McLean.
Yeah.
I think that was both of their names. But they, you know, their vision was to support the Eel River community, and they owned Eel River sawmills. And when they did a number of community surveys, that was one of the things that people were missing was a pool. And so it's one of their priorities.
It's a fulfillment of.
Yeah, but they've supported a number of things, whether it be Redwood Memorial Hospital, Open Door, Humble Senior Resource Center, like
some of the big projects.
Yeah, things that hold the community together.
Yeah. Other than ice cream. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Merritt Perry. So if you want to stay away from budget, let's talk elections.
I don't mind.
Let's talk about elections, baby. Yeah.
How about we talk about budget
now? Oh, the fact that Michelle is coming back.
Yeah.
Does that make it easier for the city to know? Already have that relationship established, well, to kind of know the strengths and the weaknesses, the pluses and the minuses, the areas of excitement and the areas that are not particularly supported by an individual.
Yeah, you know, sure, there's continuity, right? Like, so you form relationships and you understand how to communicate with somebody. And so those lines of communication are pretty strong because you've got an incumbent who's there and it is doing it and been doing a good job with that. So, you know, it's hard to say what could have been if it would have been another candidate, right?
Sure.
You don't really know. And, you know, I know Gina, who was running too, and she's a good person and smart and sharp and would have put some energy to it too. But, you know, we're happy. You know, continuity is always kind of easier if you're happy with what you have to keep that continuity.
So. Or content, certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a significant area that the county could help you out with? Not the community pool necessarily, but some of the other areas that you're looking for in the next 3 or 4 years that you're going to need to have county support. You know, whether it's, was it area of influence, sphere of influence, whatever it's called anymore. Some of those types of things, or just general, we're behind you.
Yeah, I mean, our supervisor is one of five, right? So you only have 20% if they're supporting what your community is wanting.
But as a representative of the area and somebody who's going to carry the torch.
Yeah. You know, the biggest thing is communication. Something that wasn't going as well in the past is, you know, the county would be doing things and we wouldn't have a sense of what those are. And Michelle does a really good job of keeping us posted on what's happening at the county level that has the potential to impact the city to make sure we're able to weigh in on it. And in the past, you know, when some of the cannabis legislation, you know, created impacts right around neighborhoods where there'd be an open air grow, you know, right behind a new neighborhood in Fortuna, we'd get 3 minutes at the podium, you know. So having that voice with a supervisor and the connection to staff, which, you know, wasn't really there before, she's done a good job of making sure that staff considers what the city's needs are. And it's really important. It's honestly a really big part of the job that I think didn't happen well. That's happening well now. And it's really helped us to, you know, be on top of what's happening at the county level. Cause it's hard to keep track of everything that's going on. And so when you get a little text or, hey, you might want to pay attention to this or this is happening, and you can kind of like, oh, great. It gives you time to react and participate in what's happening at the county level without having to monitor it as closely.
Do department heads get together with other department heads also?
Yeah, you know, it's the same kind of thing as city managers.
In the past,
when I was a public works director, city engineer, one of the more valuable things, you know, going to a public works officers institute is you end up spending a lot of time with your local peers, and then you can really kind of compare notes on things. And so it's a good opportunity. There's other opportunities without traveling, though. you know, a lot of our public works officials sit on the technical advisory committee for HCOG, and that's a good chance for people to get together on a regular basis and talk about transportation needs and things, you know, both during the meeting and outside of the meeting. It just gives you a chance to kind of talk about what your big issues are.
Well, you know who the personalities are.
Yeah.
I mean, you're always going to have one that you're closest to.
Yeah, and there's not a huge turnover in public works officials. You know, they tend to be around and take the long view.
Or they just spin.
Yeah, on infrastructure and you know, again, most of the cities here have similar issues when you're talking about infrastructure, you know, and personnel.
No, that doesn't. That like, does not mean before the rumor starts that Fortuna's going to start having bulb outs, does it?
We've got them all over town, downtown. There's little pop outs all over.
Yeah, but
we've had them sit for.
How come people aren't tripping and falling on yours?
We have a wonderful garden club that plants these beautiful.
Oh, the brick.
The bulb outs. Well, they're brick, and then
yeah, but
on
they're
the
up
outside,
like 2 feet tall.
And then there's outsides. There's planters where we have some of the most wonderful landscaping and flowers along the main street. If you go look, you'll be like, wow. And yeah, so we get some great service from our garden club. And
I would see more of those little 4-inch trip and fall potentials, or not potentials, realities that are going on now. You don't have those because your sidewalks are smooth, right? To the to the street surface.
We every year we do an on-call concrete contract, and we do a horizontal concrete.
A what?
An on-call concrete contract where we repair sidewalk areas.
Oh.
And then we have, actually, this is somebody that I met at a conference where they have a kind of a specialty horizontal saw that cuts lips off sidewalks. And so we started contracting.
So it does get it smooth instead of having that two-inch.
Yeah. I met a guy named Joe Ortega who owns this. I think he's one of the owners of that company. And I talked to him at a conference, and you know, they'll come out and survey all of your sidewalks, and they'll figure out where all your cracks are. So every year we bring them back to do a certain block. We, you know, kind of started at downtown and around City Hall, and we've grown it out. You know, we've done some work around our parks. Wherever we see issues, we'll have them do a big contiguous piece. And you know, we started contracting with them, and then some of the other entities saw that work that was happening, and then they started contracting with them because it's a real cost-effective way than ripping out sidewalks for a small gap to go in and do some of that cutting. So you know, that's one example of something you could bring back and save a lot of money of not tearing out sidewalks, but just doing that horizontal cutting.
So, like tree roots? I mean, is it that?
Yeah, that's tree the roots, kind of pushing them up, and you know, old, maybe it's settlement of soils. And,
yeah, because you can see big chunks at a time all of a sudden. There's one. Where is it?
And then some of our sidewalks, they're 30s, 40s. You know, they go back a long ways.
Yeah, I would bet that the foundation underneath them isn't quite what you guys would do today.
You could still see the WPA stamps around.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
You know, or like on the meter covers.
Yeah.
You see, you know, the old water company.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't exist anymore, but some of the, they're almost, those, I don't know how many people get excited about that kind of stuff, but I think it's
so
cool.
So you see something that's been around for 80 years, it's served its useful life. They can move, you know, there's things that happen, and so.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's still neat that they're still still functional, so they haven't had to be replaced. But two, it's a touch back into where we all came from.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that stuff is well, at least I guess for you and me, it's kind of cool.
It's pretty.
I don't know if anybody else cares.
Yeah,
but it's still kind of cool stuff. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:42.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Merritt Perry. What's got you excited for summertime? Other than vacations, that doesn't count.
Work stuff?
Yeah.
Geez, you're no fun, Brian. We are.
Notice I've tactfully stayed away from that thing you didn't want to talk about. So
no, it's fine. I'm happy to talk about budget. We're doing good.
Oh yeah, great. Now you have 5 minutes left.
Next
time. Yeah, we can talk about it.
You know what's exciting right now? They are paving the parking lot on our police facility, and they are done with the construction on the building. You know, there's some cleanup and touch up and little things like that, but that project's just about done. And we're at the point where we're trying to figure out, you know, we're trying to coordinate the move of the phones and all the computers and stuff, but that's imminent. And, you know, we'll be doing that within a couple of months at the outside. And, you know, we really need the space in City Hall. We have some substandard office spaces. We have some equipment in the hallways, and to have a whole nother half of City Hall for community development and some of our public facing services is cool. And
so you told Casey, hi, nice to see you. Get out of here.
It started out like,
it's time,
we're
baby.
We're doing this great thing, and I'm so glad we're building this facility. And then it's like, all right, I got to get you guys out of here.
Yeah.
No.
Don't let that moving truck in the alley dissuade you, but.
Yeah. So we're getting to the point where, okay, maybe we should start thinking about a ribbon cutting here pretty soon and inviting folks down to come and do a tour of the building. And do we do that before or after the computers get set up? Or, you know, like, you know, so it's nice to be at that point. It's a big achievement for the city, and it's so hard to put together a project in using general funds to build a police facility. They just don't throw money at cities like that. So, you know.
Well, this has been 15 to 20 years, hasn't it, in the works?
It's been a long time that it's been needed. It's exciting that we could do that, right? But the day we get that done, there's a whole bunch of other needs that we still need to meet for all of our departments, including.
Yeah, but the big lift is done then.
Well, it's one thing that you can check off the list that was done well, right? And the key is, whenever you do something, you touch it, you do a good job, because you might not be back there for a while. So I
would presume that you already have plans for that space. You were already referencing that.
Yeah, we went out.
Is that going to start this summer?
Well, sooner. You know, I want to.
Presuming the guys are out.
Yeah, you know, it opens up a lot of opportunities. So what our plan is to take the community development department, which is small and kind of scattered, building department, and includes a building department, and they'll have their own counter where people can come up and get service at the community development department. And then on the other side of the city hall that we have everything now, we'll have finance and administration. So it's going to be a great change. People have decent offices. We have some people crammed in small offices with file cabinets. So by building that building, it really gives us the space we need for City Hall. And that wasn't emphasized. People were making do in it, you know, and not the best spaces. And so, you know, it wasn't the focus of the project. It was really because
it's a nice side benefit.
We were so on top of them. And now it's like, oh my gosh, how could we continue to operate like we are? We just didn't have enough space. And so we will have a couple of extra offices. We'll be able to have a nice big server room and the basement of the PD. And so there's there's going to be some great things. And initially we'll clean the carpets and paint it. You know, we don't have enough money to do another big project on City Hall. And usually that's not one that's very popular. Let's put a lot of money into City Hall. Yeah. That just doesn't usually happen either.
So, you're not having to move walls and things like that?
No. You know, there's one door we may close in and do a wall, but we should be able to do those with city staff and, you know, cleaning carpets and painting. And then thinking about the server room, we'll need some consultant help, because you're moving, you know, the wiring in that building has been Frankensteined over time. You know, you just sometimes you can't figure out what's there, so you pull new wires every time, and you have this in you know, I'm talking about wires.
And every once in a while,
the wiring to dispatch is a ridiculous number of wires, and there's a lot of rules with the Cal OES oversight of 911 servers and phone lines. And so,
but when those are all out,
right,
you're still going to have some residual old wires from the other part of the building,
right? Somebody, I don't know who that somebody is yet.
Don't look at me.
We're going to have to figure out how we, you know, are we going to pull all that stuff out and then just do new, or try to reuse some of the things that are there? So it's going to be a challenging project.
Little bit of insight from what we had here last year and a half. Rip it out.
Yeah.
Because you don't know where the other end is, and you spend so much time chasing.
So here you are. All you want to do is plug in some more phones, but then you're dealing with this mess of wires that, you know, so.
And everything's the same color.
Yeah. So it's all blue and it'll be yellow. Yeah. So as much as I want to just clean the carpets and paint, you know, we have some minor framing, and we'll have, you know, moving the servers, we'll probably have to rely on our IT consultant and, you know, it'll be a little trickier. I tend to be more optimistic on the level of effort of things, but.
Yeah, 4 months becomes eight.
No.
And everybody looks at it and goes, boy, you got it done in eight. How cool is that? And
well, it's
you
more
kind
like
of
I
get
start
frustrated.
That, my starting point is, okay, we're going to move over to the police department in 2 days, you know, and then I hear from the lieutenant, well, we're going to need a few months. I'm like, absolutely not. Okay, 5 days.
Yeah. No, I was thinking more of the IT guys.
Yeah.
It's a.
We'll see. I don't know the details of it yet, but that's one of the things that, you know, kind of fall. We don't have somebody who handles that for you, right? So you got to get involved.
Everybody pitches in, yeah.
Yeah.
It might be kind of cool to do a walkthrough for the community.
Yeah.
When it's empty.
Oh, City Hall?
When that site is empty, so they can kind of get a
sense.
You
might be the only one who shows up for that tour, Brian.
Hey, listen, you throw out a hot dog, it's amazing who shows up. But, yeah, I mean, just so that they get a sense of, you know, they're never going to be able to go into the basement.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Except for this one chance.
Well, hey, if you ever want to tour the basement in City Hall, I that's where we keep our secret money machine where we print money.
Oh, I see. That's the West Coast Division, huh? But yeah, because some of that stuff is going to be off limit or super sensitive, you can't. But just there will be some people that would be intrigued by it. Just like some folks are going to want to go through the police department.
Yeah, no, I hadn't thought about that. We could do an open house at City Hall too. I think the police department building it's going to be new and sexy, you know, and City Hall is kind of like, well, it looks kind of the same, but you got a fresh coat of paint, and that's cool. You move your server racks to the basement, you know. Now, I don't know
how. But how many people have been able to look at that area? You know, I look at some of the stuff, you know, the city halls throughout the area or the courthouse.
Yeah.
You know, most of these are now office spaces. You don't want regular people walking through there because things disappear.
Yeah.
Well, okay, here's a chance to do it. You know, if something disappears, thanks for taking the garbage out.
Yeah.
You know, so, rather than.
No, good point. And, you know, maybe I need to emphasize a little bit more our whole new community development department opening and do a grand opening there, not just at our police department. So
yeah.
good suggestion. Hey, I learned something here today, and I'm taking it back to my city, Brian.
Yeah, yeah, and your commute isn't that long. Unless you want to pay me airfare.
Yeah, I only had to travel to Marsh Road in Utah.
What an ROI. All right. See everybody tomorrow.